11. We're going to go over our theme verse here in a minute. So if you need to find that, that's in John chapter 14 tonight. So our lesson or message or sermon is going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. Our theme verse for the week is John chapter 14 verses 1 through 3. Hopefully you've been taking advantage of these theme verses and just putting your heart's mind and thinking about these things, taking them with you. If you, I would encourage you to put it on a postcard and, an index card and carry it with you throughout the week. If you have struggle remembering it, when you have a few seconds, read over it and go over it. Repetition is the key to learning, and asking God's help, He can also help you learn these verses. So the verse for this week is John 14, verses 1 through 3, something that is familiar. Let not your heart be troubled. We mentioned this in earlier today. You know, Jesus had just told him, one of you is going to betray me, one of you is going to deny me, and I'm getting ready to leave you, I'm getting ready to die and be buried. And their hearts, they were troubled. Their dreams and their hopes were all shattered. And Jesus looks at him on his way to the Gethsemane. He's caring about the disciples. He's facing the shadow of the cross is right there. He's going to face untold. No man had faced everything that Jesus had faced. But he's worried about disciples. He says, let not thy heart be troubled. And then tells you why. You believe in God, believe also in me. And the reference there is, you know, those Jews, they believed there was a God in heaven, but they rejected Jesus as Messiah. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And then he begins to tell them why he need to leave. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Just fantastic verses. You say, Pastor, a lot of us probably know those. Probably not everybody, but this is something that we can be reminded of. I encourage you to take these with you this week. Let's read them together. We're just going to do it one time because of the length of it. John 14, verses 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. All those different things. I don't know what my favorite phrase in those verses are. I like that one, I will come again. He's saying, look, I'm leaving, but I'm coming again. But that last phrase, that where I am, there ye may be also, is also a great encouragement. And where he is, that's where we're going to be someday. And thankful, something to look forward to. Now I don't know how often, it's just usually how the Lord lays it upon my heart. Every time we observe the Lord's Supper, I give a 5-minute teaching about what we do here for the Lord's Supper. But every few years, I don't know how many years it's been since I spent a whole message on it, that's what we're going to do tonight, is look at it as a whole context of a message and learning a little bit about it. Why do we do this? Number one is because of the fact that sometimes we have new people and we need to be taught. Number two is because we need to be reminded. Sometimes things become so familiar, they lose their meaning. And I know we observe the Lord's Supper usually 3 to 4 times a year. Maybe we should even do it a little bit more often because of it, but sometimes people do it so often and so regular, it'll lose the specialness of it. So I usually do it through praying and asking the Lord what he would want me to do about it. I know we normally do it around Thanksgiving just to put our minds what we should be most thankful for. I like doing it the Sunday night before Easter or Resurrection Sunday because of the fact that it puts us in the right mind frame, in the right spirit. We leave this place with this on our heart, with this on our mind, what Jesus Christ did for us. And we do it other times throughout the year. And I know it's a service. I know I enjoy it. And I know I enjoy being a part of it and leading it. And this is one of the passages of scriptures I normally look at it because I think it has a great understanding for a church family to look at it. It's 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. Now look at verses 23 through 32. We're going to go ahead and read the entire passage of scripture, and then we're going to speak on in remembrance of me. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, this is the Apostle Paul writing, and he says in verse number 23, for I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you. He's saying he got this directly from the Lord. And there were different times that he spent time with the Lord. that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. So this is the night that Judas goes and betrays him, then he's taken to that mock trial. And while he's there with the disciples, after Judas has left the room, he institutes the Lord's Supper. It says in verse 24, and when he had given thanks, I love that part. I can't get past that part without at least making a comment. You know, he is the shadow of the cross. He knows what he's going to be facing. He's going to be facing the scourging. He's going to be facing them pulling his beard out. He's going to be facing the nailing. He's going to be facing the Father forsaking him, the sins of mankind, all mankind upon him. And he's facing all that. But you know what he does? He says, thank you before anything. To me, that's amazing. And this says we always have a reason to be thankful. And that's for Jesus Christ. But he says, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And I don't think the disciples really understood all that was going on at this point in time. Jesus was teaching them something. He even told Peter when he was washing his disciples' feet, you know, what I'm doing now, you do not understand, but later on, you'll understand. In verse number 25, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show forth the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily. I know we've talked about that before, and it's something that we try to put an emphasis upon. We need to make sure that we're treating it worthily, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. And that's saying that people that took part of this and they did it unworthily, the Lord has chastised them. And many sleep doesn't mean that they're falling asleep during church. It means that they actually have died because of this. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Aren't you thankful we have a God that does not want us condemned with the world? And he does things in our lives to draw him, draw us to him. And I'm very thankful for that. Tonight, when we look at this in remembrance of me, I'd like to take just a little while, the whole message, to be able to explain a little bit about the Lord's Supper. Yeah, there's two different things that we do that are symbolisms. First of all, the ordinance of baptism. You know, it portrays an outward show of an inward decision. If you've been saved, the Bible says that we're supposed to be baptized. And you're telling the world, hey, I'm a Christian. I'm identifying with Jesus Christ and identifying with this church. And as a picture of the old life of sin and the raising again to new life of service for God. It is an outward symbol of an inward work of God in our spirit. Then there's also the Lord's Supper. It's more than symbolic. But it calls to mind the death, the resurrection, and the promised return of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we take the bread and the cup, we are remembering the day that Jesus Christ died for our sins. And then he died for them on the cross, was buried, and rose again. The communion is a symbol of the eternal work that God did through his Son, Jesus Christ. They've been doing this for 2,000 years. And they've been doing it for a long time. Just to try to draw their attention to what he did for us. First thing I want you to think about is it's a time of commemoration. Excuse me. It's a time of commemoration. What does it mean to commemorate? It means to honor the memory of somebody or something in a ceremony, to serve as a memorial for something. And I think that in this Lord's Supper, it is a memorial for what Jesus Christ did for us. You say, what are we supposed to commemorate? I think it's, first of all, we're supposed to honor what he did for us in sufferings. We commemorate his sufferings. In verses 24 and 25, it talks a little bit about his sufferings. It says, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken. You know, his body was broken for us. And in verse 25, he says, this cup is a New Testament in my blood, this do ye. And it's here where you're remembering the broken body and the blood of Jesus Christ. These are both vivid phrases. They bring to mind suffering. I've only had one thing that I remember that was broken, and it was this finger right here, at least to my knowledge. I had broke this finger, and they had to put it on a splint. And I'm not very good when it comes to pain. To be honest with you, I'm a big wimp when it comes to pain. I try my best to look tough and try to be, but I don't like pain. And you know what? When that finger broke, it really hurt. I couldn't imagine what it would be like to break an arm, a wrist, a back, a leg, things that would make you not able to accomplish what you need to accomplish. And it was painful. Jesus' body was broken for us. I mean, if we think about it, I know he didn't break the bone, but his body was so messed up that they said that they couldn't even recognize him. What he went through for us. And this is a time where we look at this, the broken body, the broken bread is a representation of what his body went through for us. You know, the dying on the cross, the whipping, the pulling out of the hair. He was beaten. He was scourged. He was spit upon. He was mocked. His beard was plucked out. He was stripped of his garments. He was nailed to a cross. He was crucified. We're supposed to commemorate this. We're supposed to honor what he's done for us. And we're supposed to say, thank you. And I think we forget this so often. We're so worried about our little things that this time and this moment is supposed to help us remind us, man, he went through this for us. Let's stay close to the cross. Let's remember what he did on that cross. And then when we see that cross and we commemorate this, what is it that we won't do for him? It seems like it pales in comparison. If he did all this for us, what is it that I won't do for him? Not only commemorating his sufferings, but I'd like to commemorate his sacrifices. Commemorate a sacrifice. You say, Pastor, isn't that the same thing as the sufferings? I think when you sacrifice, you can encounter sufferings, but sacrificing means that you're giving something up. And I think about the sacrifice he made when he left heaven. We've looked at it this morning in Hebrews. He left heaven where his will was done every second of every day. To come to a world that he suffered shame in, he suffered rejection in, he suffered poverty, he suffered pain, he suffered death. And the whole goal of coming and sacrificing, the whole purpose was to seek and to save that which was lost. And when we come to this and we commemorate what he's done, we commemorate his sufferings, but we think about the ultimate sacrifice that he paid for us. And I tell you, it speaks volumes to me. The fact that Jesus was in a human body speaks volumes to me. We forget about it and we leave and we understand, but it's like asking us to give up something is really hard and difficult. But when he left all the glories of heaven, that's something we should remember. I read this little illustration, and I thought it was good. Hopefully you get what I got out of it. The following is an excerpt when it says, what does it mean to be justified by God? And it's written by Harry Ironside. And he tells a story. Some years ago, a friend of mine was preaching in a certain place, and somebody came to him one day and said, could you come and see a woman who is very sick? We are afraid that she is dying, she is troubled about her soul, and doesn't seem to understand the way. Of course, he gladly went, as any of us would under such circumstances. As he entered into the room and sat down beside the bed, the woman said, tell me what is necessary in order that my soul may be saved and my sins forgiven. He told her the old, old story, the story of the cross. He told her how God commended his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He told her how hanging on the cross in those awful hours of darkness, our blessed Lord Jesus, as a substitute for sinners, drank the cup of wrath that we deserved and made full satisfaction for our iniquity. And now God can justify everyone who believes in him, whom he raised from the dead. When he was finished, she said, oh yes, I know all that. I understand all that, but I don't see how I can know that my sins are forgiven. So again, this evangelist, very patiently, he went over the same story. He tried to present it in a little different light. He told her that the Lord Jesus was the one great sacrifice for sin, that he offered himself for our sins, that he was made sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And when he finished, she says, yes, I understand that, but is that all that is required? The evangelist sprang up from his seat. He was a very fiery man by nature, and sometimes that fire came out even after he became a Christian. He said in a tone that shook the room, he says, you wicked woman. And she, lying there so sick, was almost terrified by this. And she said, "Oh, sir, why do you talk to me like that?" He said, "You wicked woman, you vile woman, you ask me what is necessary in order that you may be saved. I tell you that God has bankrupt heaven to save your guilty soul. I tell you how he has sent his own blessed son to give his life for you. I tell you how he has forsaken of God upon that tree, and how you have the insolence to look up into his very face of God and say, 'Is that all that is required? What more would you want?' It is all that God himself could do." And it says that she burst into tears. She says, "Oh, sir, I understand. I did not realize what I was saying. Oh, I thank God for what he has done. It is enough. If it is enough for God, it surely is enough for me." You know, sometimes I think, and people don't get this when it comes to salvation, they're like, "It's just too easy." It wasn't easy for Jesus Christ. And that's, people got to see and understand that, and they miss that. What do I have to do? Jesus did it for us. It's us seeing him as God and realizing that we're sinners. We put him on that cross, and our sin separates him from God. But when you view the cross and see what he did, what greater price could be paid? What more could God do? And it's a good time for remembering this. It's a good time, all the time, to remember this. But especially as we go closer to Resurrection Sunday and we consider these throughout the week, hopefully, then it's important to commemorate his sufferings and his sacrifice. Next thing I want you to see here, I think it's a time of celebration. You say celebration. Well, what is celebration? It's celebrate means to mark a special occasion or day by ceremonies or festivities. It comes from a Latin word that means to attend a feast. That is what we're here to do. It's to attend a celebration for what God has done, and a heart of thankfulness and happiness and joy within every saved person today, who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. We have some things that we can celebrate. First, I think we celebrate his compassion. You go back to verse number 24, and when Jesus was speaking, he says, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken." And that next phrase is for you. We can celebrate the love of God. And we can celebrate, we can be excited. The Easter praise song that they sang tonight, it's about praising the Lord. It's about a celebration. I can remember, I can commemorate. This is a time and opportunity that he had those sufferings and that he had those sacrifices. He did it all for us. He knew everything that was going to happen. Let's celebrate his love for us. Let's celebrate his compassion for us. And then we can celebrate his conquest. His conquest. Look what it says in verse 26. It says, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show forth the Lord's death till he come." You know, and this, and his conquest is the fact that he's showing forth his death. It's the fact that we believe he died. Yes, he died, but we're not celebrating his death. We're celebrating the fact he rose again. That's the conquest, that he has conquered death and he's conquered sin and he's conquered the grave. We can have hope. "Oh, death, where is thy sting?" It's because of the fact that we can celebrate. Because he lives, as we heard earlier, I can face tomorrow. It's because he lives. So when we talk about the Lord's Supper, let's remember it's a time of commemoration, but it's a time of celebration. Celebrating his compassion, celebrating his conquest. And also, think about celebrating his coming. And look what it says here. "Do show forth the Lord's death till he come." It's something we should do on a repetitive basis. We, something that we say, we know Jesus Christ is coming. We're telling the world we believe that he's coming again. Because he died and because he rose again, we can trust in his promises that yes, he says he's coming back. You know what? I can believe that he's coming back. And this is what it's doing. We're celebrating the fact he's coming back someday. We should be living a life that where you say, "Lord, come quickly. If it's today, then wonderful. I'm here. I'm excited at the fact that he's not going to leave us in this world." And when he says in John chapter 14 that "I will come again, that where I am, there you may be also." You know, these are things we can celebrate. It's something we should rejoice over. He is coming, and that is a truth that we should celebrate with joy today. No matter what happens in this world, we can celebrate the compassion of Jesus Christ. He loves me. I'm a vile, wicked sinner, but he still loves me. And we can celebrate his conquest, that there was nothing that he did not conquer in order to provide our salvation. But also, we can celebrate his coming again. He's coming back someday, and we should be excited about that. Sometimes we're looking forward when other people return. We're excited that, you know what, so-and-so is coming. If you got a grandchild and the grandparents coming away from a distance, You know, mom's coming, granddad's coming, grandpa, you know, whatever you guys call yourselves. They're coming. We're excited about their coming. You know what? Jesus Christ is coming, and we should celebrate his coming again. So not only is it a time of commemoration and a time of celebration, I think it's also a time of contemplation or a time of commitment. Contemplation or commitment. And this is where the rest of the scripture here is talking about. There's some things that we should think about. Contemplate means to think about something seriously at length. And when I think of how Jesus suffered for me, I want to worship. When I think about all the things we have to celebrate, it makes me want to sing his praises. But when I come to these verses in 27 through 32, it makes me want to contemplate some things. Look what it says in verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. So I come to this first spot and say, okay, there's a spot there, there's a word there that I'm interested in, it's unworthily. So who is somebody who is drinking of the cup unworthily? First of all, this book and this chapter is written to believers. I think a person who is a Christian is something that is written towards. And so I don't think it should be an individual who's not a Christian. I think my personal opinion, if you read the story, I think that the Judas had left the room before ever Jesus instituted Lord's Supper. That's the way I feel, because it's instituted for the believers of the day. And you see that what should we contemplate? I think we should contemplate our salvation. In spite of all our sins and in spite of all our failures, Paul is writing to the people in this chapter. They were Christians. He uses the word us. He uses the word we. Who is he making reference to? He's making a reference to believers here. So who should take part of the Lord's Supper? It's people who are Christians. First question is, are you saved? Contemplate, have I ever asked Jesus Christ to save my soul? Have I recognized myself as a sinner and saw that I was on the way for the path to pay that punishment? And have I received him as my Savior? That's something to think about. That's something we should ask ourselves. That's something we should consider. Not only contemplate our salvation, but I think according to this, we should contemplate our sanctification. Look what it says in verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. This word unworthily is something that I think we should be interested in. We are told that we should take of this cup, this bread and this cup unworthily. We should not. We bring God's wrath upon our lives by not reverencing the Lord's body. In fact, the phrase not discerning the Lord's body has the idea of treating Jesus' body mockingly and jeeringly, like the crowds did at his crucifixion. It's like taking part of this to reverence and respect and to commemorate and to celebrate. But when we're living wickedly and living in sin, that's what it means to do unworthily. So how do we take part of the Lord's Supper? Well, there's different people that do different things. Some churches, and I know preachers who do this way, they do a closed communion. You know what closed communion means is that only the people who are church members and only the people who are in good standing to the church, that's the only people that can take part of the Lord's Supper. No guests, no visitors, no regular attenders, just them. And then there's other people who will sit there and they'll say it's open communion. They'll say, everybody take part. Everybody enjoy. This is something that God intended for everybody. Well, if you read this, there's a problem with that. Because in verse number 30, he says, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, contemplate our personal situation, we shall not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. So, and this idea here, we're contemplating our salvation. Am I saved? Secondly, what about my sanctification? You say, Pastor, I'm not perfect. I'm a weak Christian. I know I need God's help. You know what? You're exactly where you're supposed to be, because we realize that we're not perfect. But for me, and the way I've taken this standard and looking at it, if I have a known sin in my life that I am not willing to deal with, it means more to me than my relationship with Jesus Christ. That means I'm not discerning the body of Christ right. That means that's something I should let the cup pass by. I should let the bread pass by, because my heart is not right. You could take it whatever way you want. You could think about it whatever way you want. But when you look at things unworthily, I think that the Bible says that if we have known sin in our hearts and life, that Christ will not hear us. So we need to examine ourselves. We need to take a look at this and see, is this something I can partake of? First, am I a Christian? Secondly, am I right with God? Say, okay, Pastor, I came because I wanted to take part of the Lord's Supper, and now you're telling me I should. No. What I'm telling you is, get right with God. If you need salvation, then accept Christ. If there is sin in your life and you choose to love your sin more than love God by not getting it right, by not getting right with God, then no, you shouldn't, in my mind, take a part of it. You say, Pastor, why are you making such a big deal out of it? Because it says in verse number 30, there is those that was chastened, they're weak, they're sickly among you, and many sleep. Why? It's because they did not discern the Lord's body. So today, when we look at this and understand that this is a serious thing. In fact, it's so serious that if you have sin that's known in your life and you do not plan to confess it to God and deal with it today, I let it pass by. You say, well, who does that? I did it before. I've done it before. I'm thankful I had a pastor, that Pastor Tom Barry, I know he's been to our church before, that taught us this way pretty much every single time. Just the same way I try to help and teach you, just because it's an important thing. And every few years, just look at it. Why do we do this? Well, it's a time of commemoration. We remember his sacrifices. We remember his sufferings. It's a time of celebration, but it's also a time of contemplation. You know, when we have a silent time and the piano's playing and we're passing the things out, those are times when we are looking and examining ourselves. Why? So, because if we examine ourselves, God's not going to have to judge us. He's not going to have to chasten us because we are going to get it right ourselves. So the encouragement this evening is to get it right. It's not to say, oh, you're not worthy of it. You're not supposed to do this. You're not supposed to do that. No. It's to be, let me get right. Isn't it wonderful what it says in 1 John 1:9? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. If you have a sin in your life, you can give that over to the Lord right now, and he's faithful and just to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. It's a blessing, something to celebrate, his forgiveness of us. But I don't ever want to put a damper on our Lord's Supper because it's important. It's something we should rejoice in and take a part of and be excited about. Because we are remembering the sufferings of Christ. We are remembering his sacrifices. And it draws our heart closer to him. It draws our heart to a need and saying, Lord, thank you for what you've done. Let me celebrate the compassion. Let me celebrate the conquest. Let me celebrate the fact that you love me. And that you're there and that I can have salvation because of you. But as I'm celebrating, let me contemplate. Let me take the time to think. Is there something between my heart and the Savior? It's not supposed to be there. Let's take some time to think about that. Let's take some time to make sure it's all right and all clear so we can take part of the celebration. I think we should celebrate Easter or Resurrection Sunday, whatever way you want to call it. I think we should celebrate it all year long. What he's done for us. We have joy in our heart because of the fact he is compassionate, because of the fact he did conquest, and the fact he is coming again. But it begins with contemplation. Am I worthy of taking it? You say, worthy? Well, Lord instituted it. He encourages, he tells us to do it until he comes back. So we are worthy of it if we're right in our spirit and our heart with the Lord. This evening, let's take some contemplation here. Let's take a few minutes during the invitation time. And if you have something in your heart, give it over to the Lord. We want you to take part of it. If you're not saved, boy, we'd love to have you come to the fort. What greater way to celebrate than your salvation today? And if you got things right, then use this as a time of the commemoration, the memories. Use this as a time of just celebrating and thanking the Lord and praising the Lord for what he's done for us. Salvation is not cheap. It's a free gift to us, but it costs the Lord Jesus everything. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.